Skype of Cthulhu presents a Call of Cthulhu campaign. This is Our Home by Jim Phillips.
So, when last we met, Kurt was awakened in the morning by a knocking outside of the Roldan's door. It was a gentleman who was surprised by what had happened. He had an appointment with her. He worked for Boyce Construction. He was a land researcher. Trey came down. They had a conversation with him, and it turns out Miss Asuncion was a psychic, a bit of a land psychic. The last time he was there, she saw something that scared her. She went way, way back. The guy gave us a business card. He lives in Queens, but I don't see his name. That's okay. No, Alex says he's headed immediately to speak with Detective Haskell, who has the case. So, that's the last we saw him. Another group went to the library to do some research on the adoption. They found out that Carolina was adopted when she was 1 year old back in 1970. Parents unknown. She was abandoned at the Hoffman Building. And then we have the lawyer's names.
Sorry, can I correct something really quick?
Please do.
Carolina was not adopted when she was 1 year old. She was adopted 1 year ago, give or take. She was adopted when she was five.
Yeah, that actually rings a bell from what we found earlier in the adoption paperwork inside the apartment. Well, good, good. Looks like Sean's on that. Thank you, Sean. Let's see what happened. Who was Michael Robin? Someone, I believe it was the football player, was supposed to have, Gary's character, I have to scroll down there. What are you, Gary? Yep, Peter Michael. Yeah, was supposed to have beaten up a guy named Michael Robin, and he looked into this fellow. The guy he was supposed to beat up was an accountant for Mario and Rudd, and didn't have a home address, but it was...
It was redacted. There was a home address, but it was in the files, but it was redacted before it was made public.
Gotcha. And how is it connected to Boyce Construction, or is that, I thought it
he
was
works, somehow. He works for the accounting firm that the people who started the building company and the lawyers are actually all connected.
There's these five or whatever companies that are all the same people. One is
Boyce Constructing, or Boyce Constructing, Hoffman, and the lawyers are all the same group.
Yeah, Mario and the, Rudd. Yeah, Mario and Rudd was, are the same, and the other one.
Yeah,
Starkey Mario and Rudd and Boyce.
Yes,
Mario and Rudd were one. The accounting firm who were connected to the lawyer firm, which the people Starkey started up the construction. Yeah,
yeah, which is Boyce Construction. Stephen Boyce from there, and yeah, that's right, and there's off. So that is a pretty big ding-a-ling-a-ling for some reason. We got to figure that out, I guess. The Hoffman Building itself was owned and built by Robert Hoffman back in 1923. And then the folks who stayed back, which would be Kirk and Trey, decided, you know, since we're framed already and known felons, we may as well commit some more crimes, and broke into the manager's apartment. Since we never see her there anyway, we figured she wouldn't be there. And that place was pretty freaky. There was light coming, even though all the windows and doors were boarded up and as seamless as could be made to be that way. And all the corners had molding that made them rounded, and there was one single table, a coffee table, in the room. Although there were there was a working sink and bathroom and things like that. It was very strange. We thought we would maybe leave. It's also spotless, absolutely clean. Like you can eat off it clean. So after that, we made a note that we should probably get police records to see who found the child, being Sweet Caroline, which I refuse to refer to as the child from now on because she is such a sweet and important character to Trey. And that's it.
One quick thing that I didn't see in the note, sorry. Now, wasn't Frank Romero, he was working for a building company and he was supposedly passing on secrets to the company that built this building. Wasn't that correct?
No. You are close.
I'm close.
You are close. Mr. Romero was convicted of passing of being paid by Boyce Construction and passing secrets to Boyce Construction. Boyce Construction, as far as you know, does not own the Hoffman Building.
Oh, sorry. But they built it?
No.
No. Romero's company built it.
Ah, Boyce Construction are the people who...
The land was receiving the illegal knowledge. The rest of the block upon which the Hoffman Building sits is being developed by Boyce Construction.
Okay. I knew there was a tie there. I was trying to remember that. Cool. Thanks.
But I don't believe you've actually looked into the ownership of the Hoffman Building.
No, we looked into its construction, and I think
you know that it's managed by a property management firm called Hoffman Management.
Right.
But as to who owns it, that's an open question. So all the research basically kind of took us through Friday, the 24th of September, kind of up until the, oh my God, we got to run and get back to work period. I do owe one more piece of information to Mr. Mazur. Because you had, I don't remember exactly what it was you found, but then in your kind of second pass, thanks to a good first attempt, you had been looking for more information on James Ferdinand and Lawrence Mario.
Okay, yep.
The founders of Boyce Construction. And you got a very good role. And I am going to preface this by saying that I'm going to assume that you continued to look through the corporate records, the city corporation registration records, kind of the same area that you were looking for, you know, looking through previously.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Right. So what I'm about to say doesn't, you know, preclude anything about driver's licenses, birth certificates, court cases, anything like that. But you are quite certain that prior to the incorporation of Boyce Construction, James Ferdinand seems to be new, perhaps, to the area. Boyce Construction is the first instance of James Ferdinand being attached as the founder of something, as a partner of something, anything like
that. Yeah, it was not in the New York business world, we can say.
Right. As far as Lawrence Mario, the only, you know, other than Boyce Construction and the Mario and Rudd partnership and the previous Mario, Rudd, and Hoffman partnership, there's also, you know, he's also done nothing else, apparently.
Well, that's a good thing to look up then. Okay. Cool.
So with that, presumably the team library, Mr. Mazur, Mr. Marco, Mr. Romero, made their way home. Team building was already home. And you all go through your usual ritual for the evening of work. It's the TGI Friday, mm-hmm. last day of the week. Weekend comes. So I assume, you know, unless someone wants to say otherwise, I'm assuming you all make your way eventually to your various employments.
Yes.
And pass the shift kind of as per usual. Nothing particularly exciting happens during your shift. Again, unless if somebody has something specific they want to do, you know, please interrupt me. I'm more than happy to.
Sorry, but otherwise, so is this, we're in a warehouse of some sort, right? I guess I wasn't really paying as much attention as I should have as to what we're actually doing for a job.
Mr. Griffin, you are a janitor at Jadzik Enterprises.
Okay. And that name hasn't come up anywhere in any of the things we've talked about.
Other than the fact that you work there. That is correct.
Yep. Okay. Working day.
Yep. We don't all work there, though, because Trey does work at a gas station. For right. One. The Citgo, I think. And,
yeah. No, I was just trying to figure out if this is connected in any way to any of the research people did. On the assumption right. that somebody would have said something when they got back. But.
Right. We didn't look up the Citgo, but presumably that also was not associated. And isn't there one other?
Actually, that was...
Sorry.
That was the next thing I was going to look up. Sorry. Was actually the next day is basically, is the company we're working for in any way connected? Just didn't get a chance to do that.
So the shift passes uneventfully. you get off work, head home. Some of you might meet up to exchange all of the day's information, unless you'd rather do that after you sleep, whatever. And otherwise, Saturday, the 25th of September, dawns. Eventually, I'll wake up, rip-roaring, ready to go.
September.
Question for the group.
Yo.
Do any of you take the paper and read the morning paper?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
It depends. I mean... How late is it that Trey gets off work, or how early? If the paper comes to the gas station, you know, with the magazine racks and all that stuff, she'd probably see it at least.
She would. She gets off work before the next day's paper is delivered.
Then she will be a no.
Okay. Those of you who do take the newspaper, how about, in this case, let's call it an intelligence roll.
Very smart. Very smart.
2.
Our success. Very nice.
Failed. 91.
Extreme.
Okay. Those of you who passed, as you are reading your morning paper on Saturday, perhaps with your coffee or breakfast, bowl of cereal, piece of toast, whatever you do in the morning. You kind of, you know, pick up the paper and kind of parse through it, read a little of this, a little of that, whatever. You notice, presumably because you're smart enough to be looking for such things since you passed your intelligence roll, in the death notices and obituaries section, you find it's not an obituary, but it is a death and burial notice for Asuncion Roldan. It is a very terse entry. Asuncion Roldan, 67, murdered No next of kin. Burial, Sunday, 26 September.
Location, some name, anything?
Wow.
Yes, it gives the name of a cemetery on Staten Island that I have to look up yet.
Okay, cool. Lots of people amongst us, but I will definitely...
St. Peter's Cemetery.
Peter's Cemetery. Staten Island. Yeah, so presumably I'll see some folks this morning at some point. And we'll,
I think we can assume at this point that you would all connect at some point.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
This is unbelievable. It is a cover-up. Pretty much the same they did to me. Like, the next team, it's like they're pretending that the child doesn't exist. They're planning to do something with her. We need to stop this.
Stop what? The burial?
No, no next of kin. They're completely... Right.
It's a lie.
Well, technically, I mean, I guess she was adopted.
Adopted the same as a kid, so yeah, I mean...
That is strange.
Doesn't make sense to me. I wonder if the adoption was contested somehow. Or... Well, I definitely would like to go tomorrow. So, do we? We all have sort of odd jobs in the sense that there's no particular reason that we would have the weekends off as opposed to any other nights of the week.
That is a true statement. However, for the sake of narrative convenience and not having to juggle different people having different random days off.
We will. Okay, that's what I was wondering. Yeah,
yeah, you'll just all have Saturday and Sunday off. It just makes life so much easier, I think.
I am all about making your life easier, Jim, and ours, mine, all of our lives, really.
Thinking of taking a second job.
Even on the same way.
That's why one of us is his favorite kid and the other is Art.
So does it say anything about... Or does anyone know, like, who would take charge of this? Like, why is this announcement even in the paper if it's, like, handled by the state? I don't know what happens. Obviously, there's no...
I think it's a legal requirement.
A legal requirement to make a an announcement in the open?
I'll take law rolls.
Okay, I'll make a law roll.
Thank goodness.
I will not be successful, but I'll make a law roll.
Success.
So yes, even without an obituary being written, the burial notices are still a legal requirement for, you know, formal record keeping. Since it's in a paper of record, it's considered a public notice. Right, so someone can't come back later and say, you shouldn't have buried her, I'm going to sue, or anything like that. We told you, you had your chance.
Given 48 hours or less notice, but all right.
I am going to, we have that guy, what did I say his name was? Alan, I think. Alex, excuse me. Alex is the guy who came in, the land researcher for Boyce. Mm-hmm. And I am going to call him because he said he was, he seemed pretty sincere about having a relationship with Asuncion. And he gave us his card and said he was going straight to the police. So I'm interested.
Yeah, in that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Right, that's very nice of you.
A little rotary dial there.
Wow.
Nice. A little bit rusty on my sound effects. Haven't heard them for a while.
Come on over. I can play you some live.
Oh, you got some. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice. They're indestructible.
They were, yeah.
We gave my daughter a little toy phone, you know, with a rotary dial and a cord and everything. And it was like half a day before she had taken some scissors and cut the cord off because she had no idea when she was a kid what why the phone would be attached to a big box.
That totally makes sense.
Yep.
So, Ms. Greer, so you are calling to the number provided to you by Alex Leonard upon his business card.
Yes.
Okay. The phone rings a couple times and is then picked up. Click. Thank you for calling Boyce Construction. How may I help you?
Yes, Mr. Alex Leonard, please.
One moment.
She's impatiently drumming her fingers.
I'm sorry, Mr. Leonard is away for the weekend. May I pass on a message?
Well, I saw him yesterday and he gave me his business card. Is there another way to reach him? He must have neglected to give me his home phone number.
If it's regarding a business matter, he will be back in the office on Monday. You can either call back then or I can leave him a message and have him give you a call when he returns.
In the 70s, I guess he might have, the old Rockford Files answering service thing or something, you know, where they call into a big box maybe.
Well, he has a secretary for that. Presumably, if you leave a message that says there's a thing happening tomorrow,
you'll get a hold of him. Yeah.
Of course, you can also look him up in the old white pages, too.
That's true, too.
Although in New York City, that's pretty thick.
Yeah. So I will just ask, yes, does he have a voice system that I can get a message to him today?
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't have a voice system here at Boyce. But if you care to leave a message, I will make sure he gets it. I'll put it right on his desk.
Put it right on his desk, yes. So helpful. Yeah, I think we went ahead and gave him Kurt's number, so I don't necessarily want to give hers. So I will say, yes, call Kurt Griffin ASAP.
Call Kurt Griffin. Can you spell that, please?
G-R-I-F-F, kiss my ass, I-N.
Well, excuse me.
And I will hang up on her.
Okay. Phone has been hung up.
Okay, I will now.
So, good news?
Give me those white pages.
Good news, they won't pass on any messages from him.
Yeah. So I will see if I can get a phone book.
I'm sure you have if not this year's, at least last year's white pages. Sure.
Yeah, we used to have them stacked up inside a closet in my house. And I will look for Mr. Alex Leonard.
Okay. Would you roll me a D10, please?
D10. Seven.
There are seven Alex Leonards in the city of New York.
Do they list... well, actually, he didn't see which... with Burrow, he was in, so I can't narrow it down. I will, again, I suppose, looking, seeing if I can narrow it down even further, although I imagine with that role, the role is what it is, to see if there is, you know, any different spelling from what he has on his card or anything like that.
There is not, no.
Okay, so I will just going to go down the list. Asking for a Mr. Leonard if I get a call, and that Mrs. Traeger, I spoke with him yesterday about a mutual acquaintance.
Okay. Rather than doing each of those seven calls individually, right. Allow me to summarize. A couple of them just ring through and there's no answer.
Okay, I will make a note of those, little dot.
A couple of them are answered by people who claim to be Alex Leonard and say they have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, and presumably different sounding voice, or whether I can tell or not, yep, different mannerisms maybe, doesn't matter.
And then a couple are answered by other people, you know, who are just a second. I will get him for you. And then you speak to someone who claims to be Alex Leonard and similarly has no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. How many Alex Leonards does that leave?
That covers all of them.
No, I'm sorry that I wasn't able to speak with.
Oh, I'm sorry. Roll me a D4.
D4. Oh, hang on. Sorry, I have switched to a dice roller in my isolation. One. I may use this dice roller from now on.
There you go.
Here we go. Okay. I will make a note of that. Actually, I always wanted to do this like they do in the movies. I will tear that page of the phone book out. And circle the number, the name and the number, and stick it on a refrigerator with a magnet.
Okay.
Things that you've always wanted to do.
I know, yeah. As a kid, it felt like it was just vandalism. You know, why would I tear the page out of my own phone book? And when they did it, you know, on the TV shows of the payphone, I was like, whoa! But anyway, it's the little things in life.
Fair enough.
Okay, so I will share that they are dead ends.
Well, maybe we'll see him there. Hopefully he reads the paper as well, if he's that interested in going.
Yes. That says tomorrow. Okay.
That's tomorrow. Cool. Yeah, I think... I might head back over to the library if any of you are thinking of going, yeah. Since we've got all day.
Thinking about exactly the same thing. It's like we got some names to follow through and see if they're connected a little bit more.
Question. Is the the library will be open on Saturday.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because I'd like to see whether any of the companies we're working for as well seem to be connected to this all. You know, the warehouse. Yeah,
that is an interesting idea.
I mean, and also like we all seem to have been
framed
for our crimes. So what the person I was framed around was, you know, connected to this. I mean, how about you guys?
I think you'll find that everyone in prison was framed. Just ask them.
I don't see any connection on my part. Well,
I didn't see any connection until I found out that the guy's actually an accountant for one of the firms.
Yeah.
My thought, and I will turn to Kurt, who was the one with the big law business or law knowledge? That was Mr. Romero, right?
Yeah, I've got 25, which is not as much.
So presumably police officers, including detectives, also have some days off. And possibly the ones that work during, say, the night shifts during the week would get some weekend. So I'm wondering if we can bypass that asshole that I spoke with to begin with and charm the whoever is at the desk.
Weekend.
Yeah, on the weekend with my good friend Kurt's good looks and charming smile, and see if we can at least find out if they have any notes about the girl in the girl. Gosh, now you've got me saying it, and I am pissed about that, about Carolina in the record book. What do you say, Kurt?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to come along with you on that.
You're a people person.
Sure.
Just for good measure, I will. What was that guy's name? Someone has the card. I think they gave me the card, didn't they? The maybe someone else, the detective that was there.
Which card?
Who made off that night with Carolina? Social services was there, but also the detective.
The detective, well, the detective Pascal.
Yes.
Pascal, yeah. Just for good measure, I'm going to look up. There were two people I met. Did I get both cards? Maybe one was social services, and one was yes, because we went to social services, and there's Detective Pascal. So I will. There it is, Pascal. Thank you for highlighting that. Just for good measure, before we leave, I'm going to look up those two names, circle them, and gleefully rip them out of the phone book as well. The whatever doctor or detective Ed, if I, however many Albert Taskills and whatever the social services person was, I could find in the phone book.
So you're gonna tear out all the numbers for Albert Taskill and Randall Nico.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. I did threaten somebody and promise a visit. We'll see if that intimidation holds against the law.
Social services law. People you threatened.
Was it? Okay, good.
Because yeah, you said you better take care of her.
Yeah, there'll probably be a lot less. Okay, so yeah, I'll take the social services because they might be a lot less tough than the actual police officers anyway. Okay. If I have to track them down. But first to the police station, if you're willing, Kurt, and anyone else.
Yes, Kirk is willing, although it seems like he's mostly willing in hopes that he might be able to temper you down from doing something excessive with the police folk rather than a personal interest in going there.
Okay, yeah,
I'm not going to the police again.
So Mr. Mazur, Mr. Romero, and Mr. Michael are going to return to the library. Ms. Greer and Mr. Griffin are going to go to the police. So splitting along the same lines, team research and team action. So I'm going to call these. Okay. So presumably you would all head out kind of a mid-morning sort of thing, you know, after breakfast and discussion and Ms. Greer's various phone calls and so forth. As you are leaving the building, as you pass the post boxes that are just inside the front door, taped to the wall next to the post boxes, there is a piece of bright red construction paper. And written upon it in handwriting, apparently, you know, with like a black marker, it says, memorial and remembrance for Asuncion Roldan, Saturday, September 25, 2 p.m., apartment number 6.
And which is apartment 6?
It is on the second door, next door, or on the second door. On the second floor, it is your one of your neighbors, Mr. Mazur.
Right. So not so, but nobody, I mean, it's just, it's not one of us, it's just a...
okay. Why don't you give me a, call it a spot hidden roll, Mr. Mazur.
67 is not a success.
Okay. Yep. Yep. So you, I mean, you, that's about all you know about number 6 is that it's next door to you on the second floor.
Okay. So I just, for whatever reason, haven't met that neighbor or something. Well, I guess this is somebody else who must have known her. That's nice.
What is our current time?
Morning. We're just getting morning. Up.
Well, 9:10
a.m. Something like that.
9:10.
Yep.
Okay, there's plenty of time to come back by 2.
Depending how long you're in jail for, yeah.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. The question is there time to go to the bail bondsman and get me out by the time?
Probably on your own there.
That's pushing it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it depends on how quickly you get into jail to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, oh, that, you're going to need to actually get money to actually, you know, have something for the bail bondsman get them to give you the bond.
Without
Gary, you have a lot of knowledge of this sort of thing, Gary. That's interesting.
That 10% requirement.
Without going into too much detail, I had a friend who had the unfortunate incident to actually have to get bailed out one time, but the bail bondsman for advertising gave him a t-shirt that was a get-out-of-jail-free card. So he would wear it every time he went out just in case something happened, and he was guaranteed free bail. So it was, you know, advertising for them, which I always thought was kind of cool.
So I got that going for me.
Yeah.
And
Sean, just to answer your question, I watched too many episodes of.
Oh, I didn't ask a question. I made a statement. No, I didn't ask a question. That's not as interesting.
We just make gross assumptions around here.
Not even assumptions. We're just going to make them.
They're just gross.
Anyway. Let's follow Mr. Mazur, Mr. Romero, and Mr. Michael back to the New York City Public Library first. So the usual transit into Manhattan. Mr. Mazur, what is your purpose in the library?
I think I am going to try to see if these people actually exist or if they are created artificially.
Would you care to be more specific?
Yes. Ferdinand and Woozer, what's it? It's Laura Mario. I am going to look for newspaper stuff about them with photographs and try to figure out how old they are, where they were born, things that make them seem like real people.
Okay. So dig through the newspaper archives.
Yeah, see what I can find out about these jokers.
Starting from today and working backwards? Or...
No, starting from, I will say, starting from the founding of Let's see, that's 1970. Starting from 1970 and working backwards.
Okay. Would you care to give me a... I was about to say spot hidden, but that is a wrong thing. Library use.
Library use. That is a success, only of the normal sort.
Okay, we'll hold on to that for a moment. Mr. Romero, what is your purpose in the library?
That's a good question. So I would like to find any cross-reference within the original owner of the building.
Mr. And Robert Hoffman.
Hoffman and the other four, like the two of the firm and the two of the accounting firm as well. Lawyers and accountants.
Okay, so let's see. So by lawyers, you mean the adoption lawyers? Carolina's adoption lawyers, or which lawyers?
Yeah, let's start with the accounting firm, and then let me.
Okay, of Mario and Rudd.
Correct, yeah.
Formerly Mario Rudd and Hoffman.
Yes.
Okay. Library use.
Mm-hmm. Success.
Okay. And I should also have asked, so what kind of records are you looking for? Are you similarly digging through the newspaper? Are you digging through the corporate records to find if they did anything else together in the city?
So,
wedding registry? What? I don't know.
I will go through social on the newspapers. Social news from the newspapers. See if they used to be part of some socialite, I don't know, like parties, and they met there and started doing business together, and then they started backstabbing each other. Some sort of news about their relationship.
Okay, that makes sense. And what kind of time frame are you looking for?
So, given that, I will say since the creation or the when they started with the construction of the building, you know, maybe the creation of the company. I don't know if I'm mixing things up here, but So let's go when they started building the current building.
The Hoffman building.
Okay. So around the time of the construction of the Hoffman building in 1923.
Yes. Okay. 1923, and see if I can get hits of their names over the years.
Okay. And Mr. Michael, what is your purpose in the library?
So he's going to trace back the companies that we're all working for to see if those companies actually link back to the construction company and this lawyer firm or accountancy or these people.
Okay, so you're going to check out Jadzik Enterprises, the Sungmin Yi Grocery, and the Sunco Gas Station.
Yes. Yep.
Fair enough. Library use roll.
So that's a 09. So that will be a hard success. And you know what? This would probably be Pete. Peter's been more in the library than he's ever been, even when he went to college.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, let us hold on to all of those for just a moment as we cut over to the police station. Ms. Greer, Mr. Griffin, make your way down the road back to the local precinct station there.
Trey, what's why are we going here again?
She will put on a good smile and her arm around. She's like, well, you're going to do the talking, buddy.
I need to know what we're going to say.
Well, you're going to say that first we're going to ask to speak to Detective Taskins about a case. And when they say he's either going to be there or not, probably not. And I hope not, because he's a bit of an asshole and hard to deal with. But when he's not, you'll ask if there's someone that she can speak to, the detective on duty or something. And then you will plead your case about a minor being involved and wanting to know just if the poor girl's all right. And surely you can check just for me, bat, eyelashes and things like that. You know how to put on that Hollywood charm. That's my hope, to get any information about what may have happened to Carolina.
I mean, isn't she the suspect in the murder?
Well, let's find out.
Well, we kind of know that. We heard that. You heard that.
Hearing that is different than actually hearing it from the detective themselves.
Do you,
hopefully, the detective on duty will have access to the file. And you just smile pretty and see what you can find out about poor Carolina. I leave it to your devices.
It's such a surprise that everyone you talk to turns out to be an asshole.
I know, right? It's always them.
A remarkable coincidence. Okay, well, I'll see what I can do, but...
It's either that or go directly to the house of the social worker and harass a government official. So I'll let you choose.
Okay. Kirk says, feeling that he's about to enter the list of assholes. all right, I assume we arrive at the police precinct.
Safe and well, yes.
Excellent. We'll walk up to the front desk. Hello. I was wondering if Detective Taskill is in.
Detective Taskill? You wish to speak to the detective on an official matter? You have information on a case, or?
I do want to speak to him about a case, the Hoffman Building case.
Okay, just one moment. Sub-party luck roll.
Ha-ha! I think that's you, Steve. Very suspenseful.
Yes. Ms. Greer is embarrassed about her.
How low her luck is compared to mine? Yes. Yes, she should be.
Damn it. Juggling too many things on my phone. But the dice roller came through again. A 17 will be a hard success if that counts in luck.
Well, the Detective Tazgul is in his office at the moment.
Great.
Give him a message, and if you would care to have a seat, I'm sure he will come get you as soon as he is available.
Okay. Jim, when my I wasn't living out here when I was before I was arrested, right?
I assume you were probably living somewhere in Manhattan. Yes,
I assume so as well. So, okay, all right. Well, then I will busy myself looking at the walls, looking for wanted posters, seeing if Trey's photo stares back at me or anything like that.
Yeah. For all her bluster, Trey is not comfortable in the police station as well. And even though I'm sure, well, actually, I don't know what precinct she would have been arrested for or arrested in, but she'll keep an eye out for those assholes cops that arrested her way back when.
I could be just making this up. Ridiculous.
All of this is made up, Jim.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
No. But I would imagine that Ms. Greer also probably lived in Manhattan, but further in the north end of Manhattan, up in Harlem.
Yeah, I would think that is much more likely.
Okay.
But she's still jumpy.
Sure. So the two of you wait.
Is there anybody else in the waiting room?
Oh, yes. Yes. The precinct is... Yeah, about as busy as it, you know, was before, right? You know, there's kind of people sitting around waiting. There's cops coming and going with, you know, various suspects, people in handcuffs, you know, people are leaving. There's business. The business of the law is happening.
So as I'm walking around looking at things on the wall, I will listen to conversations and see if I hear any familiar names or anybody saying something that sounds familiar about, you know, the Hoffman Building or any buildings we work at or even just something in our neighborhood.
Listen roll.
Oh, no, an 88. It's very noisy in here.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's cut back to the library. And we will start with Mr. Michael, who got a hard success. So you were looking for information upon your various current employers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Jadzik Enterprises was incorporated 3 years ago. In 1957.
What? That's not 3 years
ago. Sorry, 1957. No, it is not. 1973. Sorry about that. I was looking at one number and thinking about another number, and it all got muddled up in my head.
They're all the same, those numbers.
Sole ownership going to Pyotr Jadzik.
Okay, so ownership Pyotr Jadzik. And we haven't come across this name before, have we?
Other than the fact that you apparently work for the fellow? No.
Okay. So I'll make
a note. And it is his signature on the paychecks. Those of you who have received a paycheck at all yet, for Mr. Griffin, Mr. Romero, and Mr. Michael. The Articles of Incorporation state that the intent of the business is to establish and operate a transfer and repacking warehouse.
Transfer? What are we actually handling?
So it's a contract warehouse, right? So they repack for reshipment basically anything. So large boxes of widgets come in, they are unpacked, they are repacked into smaller packaging of widgets and sent back out.
Okay.
Right. And this is, you know, done for other companies contract with Jadzik Enterprises to repack just about anything. You know, everything from stuffed animals to plates and dishes to, you know, transistor radios to whatever.
Okay, yeah. Not a problem.
Okay. You are also able to find business records, not in corporation records, because it's not a corporation, but a partnership called the Songmin Yi Grocery.
Mm-hmm.
As a partnership between... hang on, I got to find it now. Yongsu Yi and Sungmin Yi. To run a grocery. And that was established 10 years ago in 1966. And then finally, you can find, again, not articles of incorporation, but intent to do business in the city from Sunco Enterprises, establishing, which is apparently a national company, establishing a number of gas stations variously around the city. A number of addresses are given, one of which is the address where Ms. Greer works.
Okay. That'll probably take up most of my time before the memorial, wouldn't it?
You've gone mute.
I have, yes, sorry. Yes, if you want to make it back for the memorial, you are quite correct. Your research day is done.
Yeah, not a problem.
Mr. Romero, you were looking for information on Mr. Hoffman, Mario, and Rudd in the newspaper starting around 1923. And you got a normal success.
A hard success.
Oh, you got a hard success. Oh, yes. I will update my notes and give you something hard rather than something normal.
Nice.
So you are able to find in the paper for, in a paper dated the 22nd of December, 1923, a couple pages back, this is not front page news, a small photograph of a group of well-dressed gentlemen standing in front of a building which you absolutely recognize as the Hoffman Building. It doesn't look like it's changed all that much, if at all. And just a small kind of, you know, a couple lines identifying the Hoffman Building opens today for occupancy, constructed and owned by Mr. Robert Hoffman and company at such and such an address. Apartments will be let for, you know, $2 or whatever. And that's that. Digging back a little bit further than that, since you got a hard success, you are able to find, there's no photograph accompanying this, but again, it's just kind of a small article, kind of deep in the paper. Identifying construction begins today, you know, began today at such and such an address for a new apartment block built by being built by Robert Hoffman and Company to provide for clean and safe accommodation.
Okay. Is there any
and I do apologize. That article is dated. So that article is dated. Sorry. That article is dated as March 21st, 1923.
Okay, so he started the construction of the building in March, and it was finished around December.
Correct.
22nd. Now the 22nd. That rings a bell, though. December. Right. So, June 22nd. Okay. So no relationship, business wise, with between the. The Hoffman Company and the accounting company?
So digging through, kind of digging out those two articles kind of takes up most of your, you know, most or if not all of your research time. Okay. And in the process, you know, at least kind of through that period of time, basically the, you know, we'll say you got even, you know, we'll say you definitely got back even a little farther, you know, maybe into 1920, 1918, that kind of thing. So at least back that far, there are no previous references to Robert Hoffman. And across that entire period of time, there are no references to either Mario or Rudd.
Yeah. All right.
Mr. Mazur.
No.
So you were looking through the papers from 1970 for information on Mr. James Ferdinand and Lawrence Mario.
Correcto.
Do I have that correct? I have that correct. Okay. Yep. So... you are certainly able to find, so at least from 1970 working back, you got a normal success, so we'll say you at least made it to the mid-60s or so. There's nothing, no references to James Ferdinand. You are able to find nothing in an article, but you are occasionally, you do occasionally locate advertisements for Mario and Rudd.
Okay.
the accountant firm.
Yeah.
Which are just kind of generic, you know, hey, need an accountant? Call Mario and Rudd.
So there's nothing to indicate that these people were actually alive. Is that a true statement? That I find in the time I have between the '70s and the '60s.
So there's James Ferdinand. That is 100% correct.
Okay, sorry, just for okay, yeah.
Of Lawrence Mario. If you don't consider the advertisements evidence, then apparently not.
I don't.
There's certainly no like photographic evidence. You know, Lawrence Mario won the 1969 New York City Marathon. You know,
that's exactly the kind of thing I was, or shown here donating money to so and so, or exactly all that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Nothing in the, you know, nothing in the business sections. Nothing in the, you know, financial sections. Nothing in the what do you call it? The rich people,
the social.
Thank you. The social pages. Yeah.
So that is, I think, interesting. Cool. Yeah.
So, Mr. Mazur and Mr. Romero, are you both headed back to the Hoffman for the memorial?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like I best.
Okay. As you depart, let us cut back to the police station. Ms. Greer, Mr. Griffin, you wait. You wait. You wait. How long are the two of you willing to wait?
Yeah, I think I know this is going.
Are you like 15 minutes and we're out of here, or are you... Would you wait 2 hours before you said to hell with this? What's your tolerance? What's your patience look like?
I would like to go maybe, are people being seen or people disappearing like around us and rotating in and out?
Yes.
Okay.
That said, you haven't seen you, at no point do you see Detective Tazgill come out, but yes. The police station is busy.
We wouldn't recognize him if we did.
Yeah, we saw Detective Tazgill come out. Detectives came to the plainclothes guys, told us to wait outside till the detective gets here.
And no, the lieutenant, who may or may not be the same as the detective.
I can guarantee from the titles that it is not.
Yeah. So we have not met the detective.
Who met the detective?
The other group did.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I met the detective.
You are correct. Thank you.
Yeah, no. Walk out Mazur, right now.
So these guys have not yet wasted his time.
Mr. Mazur, Mr. Romero, and Ms. Janelle.
Yeah. Did you guys go up to the station to begin with? Is that where you met him?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I'd remember that.
Oh, I did, which is
your goal was to run into somebody else today, so.
But, yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
So the only one I can really say, I mean, we could keep looking. I would wait for more than 15 minutes, but at some point I would start looking to see if either the lieutenant or the sergeant walks out, because those are two officers we did see the night when this all happened.
That is a good point, yes.
Okay.
But otherwise, I don't expect the wheels of justice to move swiftly, given I've been in jail for this long. So I will wait until waiting would possibly impinge on my ability to go to the memorial service, and then I will go.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. You know, I might.
But I can't imagine Trey's going to wait that long, so we'll see what happens here.
So I was thinking, I mean, we got there, what? Maybe 10 or 11 or something. Does that sound right? Or
call it 10.
Call it 10. 10? Okay. Yep. And the memorial is at
2.
So we've got a long time. After a while of waiting and not seeing anybody and people passing us up, I will, the first thing I'll do, I guess, is kind of nudge Kurt and say, Go ask Gorm again for a reminder. See if he'll do it. If not, I'll do it.
Oh no! I'll happily walk up and say, do you have any idea of how long this might be?
So how long have you waited before doing that?
15 minutes.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. As you can imagine, our detectives are quite busy. They will see you when they are able to. I'm sorry. You said you wanted to talk about the case or the recent murder at the Hoffman Building?
Yes.
Are you witnesses? Do you have evidence or information for the detective?
We do. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that might change things. Let me go. Let me go update the detective, and he may be able to. He may prioritize you higher.
I will look at her with some degree of disbelief and then move back again. Start to think maybe Trey's way of looking at things might be the right one after all. Everybody is an asshole.
5 minutes later, a gentleman steps out from the back. Greer, Griffin?
Right here, sir. Right here.
Come this way, please.
Yes.
He leads you into the bowels of the precinct, kind of down a hallway, opens the door. Right in here. Let's talk in here.
Excellent.
And he leads you into a room. It is an empty room. There is a table with one chair on one side and two chairs on the other side. There's a tape deck sitting on the table and the empty ashtray. And he sits down on the single chair side of the table. Please sit down.
Yes.
Detective Albert Tasgall, you are Ms. Greer and Mr. Griffin. Yes, you are. Amongst the group that discovered Mrs. Roldan.
Yes, she lived in the apartment next to mine. I actually heard her crying out, as did some others. So Mr. Mazur was able to break down the door.
So that's how Mazur knew to break down the door. Did you go get Mr. Mazur to break down the door? Why didn't you attempt to go break down the door yourself?
First of all, multiple people heard the scream, sir. And secondly, I'm not as young as I used to be.
For many of us, I'm afraid, Mr. Griffin. True for many of us.
Indeed. Do you mind if I smoke?
No, please go right ahead. And he kind of pushes the ashtray closer to you.
Pull out a cigarette.
And Mrs. Greer, did you hear hear Mrs. Roldan, or did you hear the commotion, or what brought you to Mrs. Roldan's door?
Everybody in the apartment heard it. When someone screams like that, you come running to see if you can help, if you're decent. And there were a lot of decent people there that night.
It certainly seems that way. So did either of you hear anything prior to Mrs. Roldan's death throes? Did you hear raised voices or gunshots?
I didn't. But that is kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. This may be an unusual question, but did you have someone come here yesterday to talk to you about the case? Somebody who doesn't live in the building?
This is a ongoing investigation. I'm not at liberty to divulge the witness statements that we have at the moment.
Of course. I don't mean to pry, but it makes a difference as to whether or not this person is truly a suspect or not.
Would you care to give me their names?
Oh, absolutely. Alexander Leonard.
Alexander Leonard. And so why am I, Mr. Leonard? Well, he kind of flips through his notes. Mr. Leonard.
He would have been
not a resident of the Hoffman building.
Oh, no.
How would Mr. Leonard be involved?
Just yesterday, he's not a relative as far as I know, but he came yesterday. I heard him knocking on the door to the apartment next door. He was quite insistent in calling out her name, making sure everybody knew that he was saying that he was late. I opened the door and talked to him. He said, oh, he was supposed to meet her, that he was a customer of hers. Were you aware of what she did for money? And nothing solicitous about it, but is that in your notebook or this new information?
We definitely have information on Mrs. Roldan. What about the two of you? What can you tell me about Mrs. Roldan and her?
Well, if I her could business finish or my actual what I came down here to do, sir, I mean, which is that Mr. Leonard told this possible story of how he was hiring her as a land psychic, that he was supposed to be there the night that he was that she was murdered. But I assume it's murder based on the way it was, but maybe you know something different than I do. But in any case, he was supposed to be there, and then he said, "Oh, he got delayed." But I mean, does that seem like a reasonable story to you, that somebody hires a psychic and his company pays money for a land psychic, not to look to the future, but to look to the past?
Had you previously seen this Mr. Leonard around the building?
No, I did not. And I've been living there for 6 months. I've never seen him. And yet somehow he said he's a customer of hers. I mean, I work during the evenings. During the day, I spend a lot of time just sitting on the porch.
Okay. Have you ever seen any other customers coming and going from?
I know. No, I have. Let me just ask out of character. Have I seen anybody?
No.
Yeah, no. That's the other thing, is that somehow he found out about her psychic abilities, even though she doesn't seem to advertise for it. Nobody else seemed to come by using them. But somehow he knew about them and was, you know, claimed that his company was paying her money.
And can you describe this Mr. Leonard? Would you be able to pick him out of a lineup if necessary? Or
so you haven't met him?
That's not what I asked.
Well, but you don't need to pick him out. The reason this is important, sir, is that when we told him about the murder, he said he was headed immediately down here to talk to you. And that's why I asked my question. I'm not trying to probe your investigation. I'm trying to show that this man is clearly, I don't know what his situation is. He may even be deranged.
Well, that's
fair enough. I mean, if he actually kept his appointment with her and he killed her, it would be reasonable for him to come the next day and say he was lost and he suddenly realized he didn't have any reason to know if he talked to her. I mean, I'm not trying to do your business for you, sir, but
so
it feels like asking us questions when every one of us was clearly seen by the others in the hallway when the scream went out. That seems like you're wasting all our time.
So you would be able to pick him out of a lineup if we needed you to?
Yes, if that's what you needed me to do, I would be happy to do that, sir.
Okay. Okay, very good. And you said you had not seen him around the building before. You've not seen any other purported, either actual or purported, to, as far as your knowledge goes, clients of Mrs. Roldan. Were you aware of Mrs. Roldan's being employed at all?
I was not. No, I didn't. I don't ask about other people's business. I enjoyed chatting with her granddaughter, and every now and then. But we would, you know, say hello to each other and that sort of thing, but I doubt she knew what I did for a living either, either now or before.
That seems fair enough. And what about the young lady Carolina? What was your impressions of her? Did you see her around the building? Did you have any interaction with her?
Absolutely, absolutely. And she was a delightful child. And we were actually very concerned about her. Is there any way that we could, you know, we tried going to social services. Do you have, this isn't obviously part of the case where, you know, if she's doing well now. Certainly you can extend that degree of humanity.
As she is a minor and under the custody of social services at the moment, I can confirm that she is in the custody of social services. Any further information would have to come from them, I'm afraid.
Well, can you, have you seen her? Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just out of character, I was looking through the notes. I didn't see it written in social services, but after Sean mentioned it, I do remember hearing from someone at some point that Carolina was now a suspect in having killed.
You talked to the manager the second morning in the while they were cleaning things up. She mentioned it.
Okay, I didn't see that, but okay, yeah, the second morning. Okay.
Oh no, wasn't you? No. Sorry, it was Marcia was talking to the manager.
Oh, okay.
If you look at the bottom of session three, there, the second paragraph.
Okay. Marcia, then yeah, I gotcha.
Sorry. So, what was your last question, Jim?
I didn't have another question. Oh. I just stated that he says you'll have to talk to social services for more.
You know what's interesting? I mean, is she a suspect in this case?
I'm sorry, as I mentioned, I'm not going to disclose the current state of the investigation.
Which is especially odd because apparently your the manager told us that you specifically told her that she was a suspect. So I'm curious. Who gets to get told information by you and who doesn't?
Give me a psychology roll.
I may have to burn some luck for this sucker. Yes, I will burn 10 luck for this one because I haven't burned luck in a while and it's fun.
Okay.
Under the table, by the way, Trey will take her hand and put it on Kirk's leg as he starts to escalate things with the detective.
Okay, so hopefully it's pretty clear that, you know, that Detective Tazgul is, you know, is interested in getting whatever information he can get out of the two of you, since the two of you, you know, are involved and came here, you know, claiming to have more information. Just as clearly, he is not going to give you any information. When you make that sideways accusation of, well, who are you giving information to? He doesn't kind of obviously respond. You know, if you didn't make a psychology roll, you probably wouldn't notice this, but, you know, he does puff up a little bit. He looks insulted almost a little bit. I can assure you, sir, that both myself and the New York City Police Department run a tight investigation, and only those who need to know information about the investigation know about the investigation. We do not leak information here, sir.
So, and if he was to roll a psychology roll, he would realize that after 6 years, he was a big man at one time. After 6 years, Kirk is finally tired of minor officials sort of doing this, like, dance around type thing. So he is, you know, and he's not making any real effort. He's sort of doing that calm but deadly thing. There's not going to be any threats or anything, but You simply say, well, so what you're saying is you're denying you told the manager that. If we were to get her to confirm that, or we were to bring her under some sort of investigation. I'm sorry, could I, I'd like to write down the name of your supervisor if I could, sir.
Certainly. First, you will need, of course, my name and badge number. My name is Albert Tazgall, Detective, New York City Police Department. My badge number is 1668.
Wow, it's really low. How old are you?
Well, that was interesting. my supervisor is Lieutenant William Roscoe.
Does that name, did anybody ever say Roscoe around us that night?
Retroactive listen roll. Or,
sure.
Retroactive listen.
It's a 46. You can decide. Oh, okay. Spot hidden. Yes on spot hidden. No on listen.
I retroactively, when the lieutenant who arrived and, you know, took control of the situation, kept people from going in, blah, 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 all that good stuff. He on his uniform, it did say, it did give the name Roscoe.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you for the information, sir. I'm sorry I had to come to this, but I just don't understand why you can't let people who are concerned about a, you know, the fate of a little girl, just give them any shred of hope under the, you know, whatever your reasons are for keeping the specifics of the case, the actual, you know, state of this young girl seems outside that matter, but...
I did not write the social services laws of the state of New York. If you have concern as to that law, you are welcome to contact your representative in Albany.
Well, I might just do that. Thank you so much for your time.
Would the two of you be willing to answer a few more questions?
Oh, I could, but I'm under investigation right now, so I need to go.
Very well. He stands up and opens the door and escorts the two of you out.
Trey will smile broadly, slip her arm into Kurt's on the way out, and say, I thought I was going to have to step in for a minute, but you took care of that nicely. She'll swat him on the butt and kind of walk out with him.
He is deeply uncomfortable with all of this, which may have been Trey's point.
So timing-wise, the two of you do have a little bit of time to kill if there's something else you wanted to do before Misters Mazur Romero and Michael return from the library for the memorial.
No, I will go and buy some cookies or something from a local bakery to bring to the memorial service.
Okay.
Trey is going to go to the phone book with the payphone for payphone CCs. There's going to be some more page tearing. and I am going to take a look and see if I see the names of, well, Social Services was the island of Manhattan, right?
That is where the office is, yes.
That is where the office is, and that is where we went and waited and made her appointment, correct?
That is also correct, yes.
Okay. Well, I will look up Randall Nico and Zoe, Peggy. I might have more luck with her. And see if I can get some home addresses in the white pages.
You roll me a D6 and a D4.
D6 and a D4. There's really going to be that many Zoys, Jim?
We'll find out.
There are six of something
and three of something else, or else.
So, yep, whatever. So so there are six variations of Randall Nico. Right, there's an R Nico, there's a, you know, Randolph Nico, there's a couple of Randall Nico, that kind of thing. And what'd you say, three variations on Peggy Zoy.
And we'll take those pages again gleefully.
Add them to your collection.
Exactly. I don't think we have time. Are any of them in the area? The precinct we're at now is in, we're in Queens, right?
You are in Staten Island.
Staten Island. The precinct is in Staten Island at this time, right? Yep. Who would have? Yep. Okay. Are there any of these listed in Staten Island?
One of the Nicos is in Staten Island, yes. None of these ways.
Okay. And we have a bit of time, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Presumably time enough to swing by this address and before we go back. So I will take a cookie if he's bringing them to the memorial service, aren't you? I thought you had a cookie.
Yes.
For me. Sorry, Kurt. That's a much better idea. Yeah. And I will, I'll stop maybe at a flower stand to, actually those are better at the funeral. Perhaps a bottle of wine to remember her with. I'll pick up and then suggest we make a detour on the way back to the Queens address.
Queens is a ferry ride away.
Queens is a long
damn
way.
Damn it, I keep saying the wrong thing. The Staten Island address. Okay. Yes, please. Thank you.
The Staten Island home of R. Nico.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Griffin, are you going to join Ms. Greer?
So I will walk generally and then Trey, it's probably a good idea for me to just sort of, I'll be here if there's trouble, but, you know, we've got an appointment with him on Tuesday. We don't want to get kicked out right away if you, you know, do a me and become difficult.
Well, wait a minute. I've already made a promise, an intimidating promise to some social services worker, right? Was that either Randall Nico or Peggy Zoy?
That was 100% Randall Nico, who you met the early morning of the murder, of the death, of the incident.
Well, this is definitely a gentleman I would like to speak with then. I will say, would you hold that for me? And I will, over Kirk's advice, I will say thank you for the advice, dear. Now hold my bottle of wine, please, and I will go and knock on the door of the address. Okay. Or walk up the steps if it's an apartment, whatever.
Yeah, so it's definitely a hop on the bus to get there.
Okay, it's,
you know, kind of a ways away on Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's just kind of this little, small, detached, single-family home. You know, it's like 3 feet on either side from the houses next door.
Okay.
You know, there's kind of a very narrow, what you would call driveway, to what looks like kind of an old garage or carriage house in the back. And then just the tiniest of tiny kind of fenced yards up front. The house is clearly old, as are all the homes on this block, with kind of various levels of maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
The purported home of the Nicos is probably one of the nicer ones on the block. The paint isn't peeling. There's some flowers out front, this kind of thing. So you can certainly rock up and knock on the door. Give me a listen roll.
Okay. Let me see.
That is not going to be a success. It's a failure.
Okay. Give me a sub-party luck roll.
That also fails.
Okay. Just a minute, I'm coming.
Does that sound like...
It's a woman's voice.
The woman's voice, yes.
It takes a couple minutes, but eventually the door opens. There is a woman standing there. You'd guess maybe in her early 30s. A little on the heavier side. She is wearing a just kind of simple, you know, kind of everyday clothes, nothing particularly fancy. She has an apron on with a few stains, some of which are more recent, some of which look like they've been there for a while. She is holding a young child of perhaps 2 or 3 years of age, you know, kind of sitting there on her hip. As the door opens, you can hear a couple more children kind of playing, you know, just kind of that kind of general raucous children playing noise inside. Yes, may I help you?
Hi, ma'am. And Pam will put on her friendliest smile and kind of wring her hands a little bit. I'm sorry to disturb you. It looks like I came at dinner time. I do apologize. I was looking for Mr. Randall Nico.
That's my husband. Yes.
Oh, that's so great. The other night I ran into him, and I know I really shouldn't do this, but he told me it'd be okay to come and to talk to him. It's an ace about a little girl. I know you understand. I'm so worried about her. I was wondering. I'm sorry. Your husband does work for social services.
So I'm going to let you decide, since you were both fast talking and persuading in there.
Yeah.
Which you can, you did a little of both.
That's
so
right.
Pick one and roll that.
Since there's two of them, could I get a bonus dot?
No.
Okay.
Trying to fast talk you.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think I just failed that that keeper fast talk. Okay, and we'll try the fast talk. Oh, ho, and that will be a, let me check, I will spend 2 points of luck and make this an extreme success.
Well, that's totally unlike Randy. I don't know why he would want you to talk to him here. That... He does. I mean, the law says he has to do all the business and communication at the office. But I certainly understand you being worried if you have some connection to one of the children he's looking after. It's so sad, all the lost and abandoned children in this city. It's such a terrible thing. I'm sorry though. Randy's not home. He should be back this evening. He said something about a memorial that he's going to this afternoon. But, you know, otherwise, if you'd like to come back this evening, I don't know exactly when, certainly by dinner time or maybe just after. He should be home by then.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm sorry to have wasted your time. I do appreciate it. And I will sort of smile to one of... She's holding a child. There's a child around her legs. There's a bunch of kids, whatever.
She's holding a child, and you can hear at least two more young kids playing somewhere in the house.
I will kind of give a sad smile and a little wave and say, you know, kind of that quiet bye that you say to, you know, a little child. Thank you so much. And I will walk away with my head down until the door closes.
And then straighten my shoulders and strut off to Kurt.
Okay.
I think that asshole's going to be at the memorial. We got one of those to go to. Let's, or at least he's going to one of them. He better be at ours. Let's go.
Okay.
So yeah. The two of you return to the Hoffman building?
Yeah, with wine and cookies, as all people have.
Okay. So, I mean, there's certainly, you know, going to be at least a little bit of time for the five of you to kind of reconnect ahead of the memorial and share information on your various adventures through the day. But otherwise, I think we can cut forward to right about 2 p.m. when it is the assigned time for the memorial. And I think we will actually end it here for today.
All right.
It does sound like an event.
As you prepare to attend, to make your way to apartment number 6 and attend the memorial for Asuncion Roldan.